1340WNBS.com presents the Neil Bradley Show, your expanded look at local and regional sports with weekly guests or experts in their field. With today's show, here's Neil Bradley.
Hi, welcome to the program. We have another week in the books of college football as Murray State. I tell you what, I like the improvement I saw out of the Racers as they battled 17th-ranked Central Arkansas. They had to wait it out with an hour and 15-minute lightning delay, but scored right as they came back to make it a one-score game heading into the second half. Just couldn't generate any offense in the second half. The defense, I thought, held tough, limiting Central Arkansas to just the one score. And good improvement week one to week two for the Racers. In a few moments, we're going to hear from the Racer head coach, Mitch Stewart, also from James Sappington, who had the only touchdown grab, had 57 yards receiving and a score. Quincy Williams had another really good game, had 12 tackles in the contest. Not a bad night for Drew Anderson, who threw for that touchdown. He was 19 of 36, 209 yards, did have one interception. And Racers, they ran the ball, I think, maybe a little bit better in terms of effectiveness and took care of the ball somewhat better. Excuse me. They did have a couple of fumbles. One of those cost a touchdown as Sappington made a big catch as he was getting into the end zone, stripped of the ball inside the five, and ended up losing that. Could have had a whole new ball game had the Racers been able to put on that score. But didn't happen. The good news is, again, we saw, to me, market improvement, but the Racers are 0-2 heading into Week 3. More on that game coming up, but without further ado, let's get you our post-game interviews. Aaron Clayton helping me with the road games this season. He handles the color analysis and also is down on the field for the post-game interviews. He was joined by head coach Mitch Stewart.
Coach Stewart, again, valiant effort here tonight with the rain delay and all. Again, though, the little things near the end of drives may have been what the difference was between a loss and a win here against a nationally ranked Central Arkansas squad.
It was, and make no bones about it. I'm not giving moral awards out to anybody. That's not what we came here for. We came here to compete. We came here to win. And for 3.5 quarters of football, we were doing just that, and we were competing and we were playing ball. And then. For a quarter and a half at the end of the game, we flinched and we started playing for the name on the back of our jersey more than the name on the front of our jersey. And I think that's what discourages me a little bit is for three quarters, about 3.5 quarters or so, we played as a team. And because we've got a tremendous amount of talented individuals in that locker room, and for three quarters we played like a talented team, and then for one quarter to end of the game we started playing very selfishly, and that was our demise. And so we've got to get that fixed. We talked a little bit about it tonight, and then moving forward we'll get that fixed, because if we can get that fixed and we can put 60 minutes together like we played roughly about 45 tonight, then we got a chance to be a good football team.
Absolutely. The talent showed through tonight, and specifically while we wrap up on this game, X and O's, what did you see the most improvement from this past week after the 6 turnover game last week to tonight? And again, specifically tonight, pros and cons, we got to look at the negative too before we go into our last non-conference game next week.
I thought the offensive line played tremendously well against one of the better fronts that we'll see this year. Thought pass protection wise, we were tremendous in. I don't know if Drew even got touched tonight, but I did. That was a huge bright spot. I think our physicality keeps showing on defense. Talented individuals in that locker room, and for three quarters we played like a talented team. And then for one quarter to end of the game, we started playing very selfishly, and that was our demise. And so we've got to get that fixed. We talked a little bit about it tonight, and then moving forward we'll get that fixed, because if we can get that fixed and we can put 60 minutes together like we played roughly about 45 tonight, then we got a chance to be a good football team.
Absolutely. The talent showed through tonight, and specifically while we wrap up on this game, X and O's, what did you see the most improvement from this past week after the 6 turnover game last week to tonight? And again, specifically tonight, pros and cons, we got to look at the negative too before we go into our last non-conference game next week.
I thought the offensive line played tremendously well against one of the better fronts that we'll see this year. Thought pass protection wise, we were tremendous in. I don't know if I don't know if Drew even got touched tonight, but I did. That was a huge bright spot. I think our physicality keeps showing on defense of getting ahead of the sticks and making some nice, easy catches and nice, easy plays.
Finally, playing a nationally ranked FCS team gets you better for conference play, but you want to be better, period. You go play better next week. Kentucky, 2-0, beats Florida. You're at their field. What do we got to do next week? Again, not worry about the name on their jersey, but worry about what's on front of us.
That's the biggest thing is I want to see us come together as a football team. I want to see us play as a football team, not two units, not three units, not individuals. I want to see us play one four-quarter game, and I don't care what the score is next week. If we can play one four-quarter game as a team, and now there's something that you can show the boys. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. This is how good we can be. If we'll do that, this thing's going to be really, really fun. Really, really fun. Mark my words on that. Yes. It's going to be really, really fun. I knew these first 3 weeks were not going to be easy. Our team knew these first 3 weeks were not going to be easy. But that's a dang good football team in that locker room right there. A dang good football team in that locker room right there. And if we'll pull it together and, like I said, start believing in one another as a group and not so much just ourselves. If we'll start believing in one another as a group, man, I'm telling you, this is going to be a fun football season for Racer Nation.
That is Aaron Clayton with Mitch Stewart. Also, the Murray Lumber Player of the Game, James Sappington, and Aaron spoke with him after the game as well.
Neil here with our Murray Lumber Player of the Game. That's wide receiver James Sappington. James, what a game here tonight. Back and forth contest. You got that big touchdown reception. Thought we were going to get tied. The weather, the pressure sometimes coming from behind. Caused that fumble. That's kind of where the game went all right. But all in all, talk about the positives, what you take from this game. Momentum going against such a great team on their home field where they have very rarely lost over the last decade.
Yeah, I think tonight we bounced back a lot from what we did last week. And I think play calling was great. Players all worked together really well, and I think we were able to show some of our talent and what we really have. We still got a ways to go to get better and prepped up for Kentucky and then conference play a couple weeks after that. I really like the way we are putting our effort out there, and I know we have the talent. We in the locker room, we know we have that talent. It's just getting to crack through that shell to where it all bursts and we're ready to roll, and it's going to happen. I 100% believe that. But it's just, we're just working our way right up to it.
Just look at the development from this past week. After the 6 turnovers a week ago against SIU to tonight, holding on to the ball. Ball control was the main key, and you did that. Yes, there was, of course, the pick in the end zone, a couple of fumbles due to the bad weather here tonight. But the same thing on the other end. One of the best two-way games we've seen here in a while, both sides of the ball defensively, and, of course, you on the offensive side.
Our defense was really, really, really stout. A lot of times, you know, we stuffed them at the goal line. And then there was silly penalties and stuff like that, but our defense played really well, and then our offense was working on all cylinders. We were grinding, just going through it, and you know, our quarterback puts that ball on the money, it's like my grandma could have caught that ball, you know. So it was Drew's great quarterback. Offensive line's doing really well, the receivers come together, our running game's strong. It's just a matter of putting it all together into a full game, and I 100% believe and know we're going to do that.
And talk about working with Anderson. What an arm he has. And, again, you got to be in the right place at the right time. But more times you are working together, more games in, the better it's going to be.
Absolutely, yeah. Same for the whole team. Yeah, absolutely.
And then, of course, what was the message finally in the locker room from Coach Stewart?
The message was to be unselfish. I think I wasn't aware fully of it, but I think we had some silly penalties, talking back, something like that on the field. I'm not sure. But the message was to be unselfish. He said we played 3 great quarters and then that we just got to keep – our head about ourselves, and if we do that, we come out on top of this game. But if we don't, things happen. So it's just some of us looking at ourselves in the mirror and be like, who are we playing for out here, you know? And I think we're all getting on that right page. It's just thankfully we've had a couple games out of conference to get our minds right to do that.
Absolutely. And talk about your teammate here beside you. You got another man coming out to talk to us.
Yeah, Black Sanford, team leader for sure, 100%. Love that guy. He's always pumping us up before the games, after the games, keeping our heads up on the sideline. True leader for our team, and we wouldn't be where we are without him.
Thanks, James.
Absolutely.
All right, Mr. Sanford, come on over here. Again, talk about the message in the locker room tonight after the game. This is a nationally ranked team. Still, you don't believe the hype till you come in here. You proved your merit here tonight against a team like this, knowing how good you can be going back into conference play. What are these positives you take from this game?
Well, it's a lot of positives that we can pull away. You know, obviously we didn't finish the game well, but at the beginning of the game we played great 3 quarters, like Coach said, and you know, we just left some plays out on the field. But it's a lot of positive things we can take. A lot of the young guys rotating. We had a lot of depth going in, and I think we played good on offense and defense for three quarters, but we just got to finish the game. We got to keep tagging along, keep pushing, keep pushing.
And besides the physical part of this game, the mental fortitude and toughness of you, of course, the hour and 17 rain delay and the lightning delay, you came out stronger, better than ever. Talk about during that delay what the kind of the message was there and how you responded and what you've been working on over this last week. It was a tough week last week, six turnovers, and coming to this week, back and grinding out almost a big win on the road.
Well, I tell you, when you have six turnovers in the game, you're really going to get it at practice, and that's exactly what we did. We got it at practice. We had a lot of mental days. A lot of days we went back to the fundamentals. And the delay, I mean, that's really didn't stop us. We love each other. We have fun in the locker room. You know, we stay pumped. So when we came back on the field, we was ready to go. It was nothing about it.
Finally, you got one more test before conference play. You get to go to an SEC team in Kentucky next week. They're undefeated. They beat Florida. This is going to be tough, but that doesn't mean anything to you. Like I said, can't believe the hype. Got to go in there, play it one down at a time to get better and get ready for that possibly run at the OVC championship.
Well, I tell you, we're going to go in there and be physical. They just beat Florida, but we coming in there physical just like we was tonight. We're going to come out with a W next week. We're going to go in physical, and we're going to hit them hard. That's exactly how our plan is going to be. Hit them hard. Take care of the ball. Take the ball away on defense, and we're going to hit them hard.
Proud of you. Best of luck. Rest up. We'll see you next Saturday, okay?
All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you now.
Okay, the 0-2 Razors on the road again this Saturday when they face off against Kentucky, fresh off an upset of 25th-ranked Florida. Terry Wilson threw a pair of touchdown passes and ran for a third as Kentucky shocked the Gators in Gainesville 27-16, ending a 31-game losing streak to the Gators that had stood since 1986. A huge win for Kentucky. Because of the disparity in terms of scholarships, Kentucky really good. They're, a really good SEC team. And when you look at the schedule, they have Georgia at home. They have Texas A&M on the road. Besides those two, and I'm not saying they're not winnable games. I'm not even going to say that. But those are two that if you don't win those, the rest of them, I think they have a terrific chance of winning. That's 10 wins. That'd be a 10-win year, which is amazing. And Kentucky, to me, you know, barring key injuries to the wrong players, would have a great chance to perhaps pull that off or maybe even something better. But certainly look good. When you can go to Florida, come away with the win, that's big. Will there be a little bit of emotional letdown? I don't think so, and I don't think that's going to have any impact. We know what this is. It is a money game for the Razors. They'll get a huge paycheck. They go in. It's a fun time. Ask any player who gets to play in this kind of game. It's a blast. Have a great atmosphere. The Kentucky fans should be fired up after that Florida win. It'll be on the SEC Network Plus. So check local listings. Of course, we'll have the broadcast on Froggy, and it's an early one. 10:30 in the morning is the airtime. We'll kick it off at 11 o'clock from Kroger Field. But really looking forward to it. I enjoy doing these as well. You get a great atmosphere. After this one, the race will take a week off, and then they'll be back in action against UT Martin as OVC play begins. And from there on, they'll match up against everybody. Same number of scholarships, not a money game, and they're all OVC games. Let's check the rest of the action. First of all, in the OVC, SEMO defeated Dayton 40-21. They got off to a little bit of a slow start but pulled away. Marshall down Eastern Kentucky 32-16. 13th-ranked Jacksonville State, a 71-0 winner over Mississippi Valley State. Austin Peay, they had to wade through some storm delays as well. They beat Presbyterian 24-0. Middle Tennessee defeated UT Martin 61-37. Illinois State down Eastern Illinois 48-10. Tennessee State and Jackson State, that was to be played in Memphis Southern Heritage Classic. They had to cancel that. Never able to get it in. A lot of lightning in the area. Never could fire it up. One game that involved the previous opponent for the Racers, Southern Illinois, they led Ole Miss at halftime. Ended up putting 41 points on Ole Miss, but they did lose the game. Still, that's mighty impressive. Gives you an idea of maybe that's a little bit better team than some fans were giving them credit for. SIU picked 8th in the preseason. Maybe they're going to be pretty tough. That was a really good performance by them. Louisville, as expected, they had some storm delays too, but they eventually pull away from Indiana State 31-7. WKU, little red face. They pay Maine to come in and beat them 31-28. Maine, the Black Bears pull away, not pull away, but they pull off the win. And Tennessee crushed East Tennessee 59-3. Vanderbilt rolled Nevada 41-10. So our college football this Saturday will be Murray State at Kentucky. 11 o'clock is the kickoff and 10:30 the airtime. And our college football game of the week is Texas and USC. That'll be Saturday night on 1340 WNBS. The Murray State men's golf team getting the season underway today. They're hosting the 36-hole MSU Invitational at Miller Memorial. The event includes teams from Bethel, Brescia, Delta State, Wisconsin, Green Bay, Hannibal LaGrange, John A. Logan, Moorhead State, Southern Indiana, Tennessee State, UT Martin, and Union University out of Tennessee. Murray State Invitational is one of six fall events for the Racers. The Racer women also beginning the season at the Payne Stewart Memorial today at Twin Oaks Country Club in Springfield, Missouri. Racer head coach Velvet Milkman begins her 36th season as founder of the program and the only coach in Murray State program history. The Racers come into the season off a terrific, terrific year as they won their 11th Ohio Valley Conference championship. Murray State Volleyball finished 1-2 at the Wyoming Invitational. They lost to the host school on Saturday 3-0. The day before, they lost to Arizona State but defeated Binghamton. So they are 5-4 as they get into their final in-season tournament this week when they play in the St. Louis Invitational that starts Friday. Besides the host school, they'll play UNLV and UMKC. Murray State Soccer finished with a 2-2 double overtime draw at Chattanooga on Friday. Maya Watford and Corey Kane scored goals for the Racers. They're 4-1-1 on the season, and they have their conference opener Friday against Southeast Missouri in Cape Girardeau. This past Friday night, Dejon Miles, 106 rushing yards. He had two touchdowns. Murray High, a 38-0 whitewashing of Fort Campbell. Jordan Duffy caught nine balls for 85 yards. They helped the Tigers improve to 2-2, heading into this Friday's game at Marshall County. Luke Schwepker, three touchdowns rushing and 116 yards as Callaway County forced overtime but fell 34-27 to 3-1 Marshall County. Dario Stribling ran for 112 yards for the Lakers. They are 1-2 heading into this Friday's game in Hancock County. But I believe Laker fans ask them. They're pretty encouraged by this start for the Lakers. And I think Murray High fans are very encouraged by the way the team performed this past week. So we'll see if they can get over the hump in terms of the record and get to 3-2 by beating Marshall County, and see if the Lakers can perhaps get another win and go to 2-2 as they play Hancock County. Saturday night's Crosstown Classic doubleheader soccer matchup between Murray and Callaway at the Knicks Soccer Complex postponed. They had all the rain, poor field conditions. They're going to replay that or reschedule that for October 1st. Tonight, Murray High girls soccer team will host University Heights in the All-A Classic Substate action with a trip to the State All-A Classic on the line. So good luck to them. The Cardinals capitalized on an error to score five times in the seventh inning and beat the Tigers 5-2 in Detroit. Colton Wong, Carson Kelly, Jose Martinez each had an RBI single. John Gant got the win as the Cardinals avoided a three-game sweep. The Cardinals began their second-to-last homestand tonight against the Pirates. They'll play three against the Bucks, four against the Dodgers. Tonight, Adam Wainwright. How will he do? He'll go up against Trevor Williams. The Cards still holding on to that second NL wildcard spot. Airtime for the 7:15 game is 6:20 on WNBS. It appears Carlos Martinez has found a new role. He's the Cardinals' closer for right now. He earned his second save in 5 days in yesterday's win at Detroit. Martinez has struggled to stay healthy as a starter. Bud Norris will now be moved to a setup role in the rotation. The Memphis Redbirds headed back to the PCL Championship Series. Memphis scored three runs in the bottom of the 10th to rally past Oklahoma City 4-3 at AutoZone Park. The Redbirds won the series 3-1. They play game one at Fresno tomorrow. The Tennessee Titans 0-1. They dropped their opener to the Dolphins 27-20. Blaine Gabbert, backup quarterback, tossed two interceptions. He replaced Marcus Mariota, who left the game with an elbow injury in the third quarter. The game also delayed twice by weather. The Titans will play their home opener against the Texans on Sunday. Injury-wise, the Titans already down one of their best offensive weapons. NFL Network reports tight end Delanie Walker has a dislocated ankle suffered during that Miami game. We told you about Mariota's injury, and Taylor Lewan also left the game with a concussion, so they could really be hard hit heading into week two of action. Former Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson continues to impress in his first season with the Ravens. The former Heisman Trophy winner rushed for 39 yards as the Ravens Rams destroyed the Bills 47-3 in his regular season debut. Jackson promoted to second-string quarterback prior to yesterday's contest. He played nearly an entire half in that victory. OVC Players of the Week have been announced. There's co-offensive players of the week. Daniel Santa Catarina, junior quarterback from Southeast Missouri, threw for three touchdowns, ran for another, so he shares the award in that win over Dayton. Dresser Wynn, quarterback out of UT Martin and from Dresden, Tennessee, had career highs in completions, attempts, and yards and touchdowns. He had 34 completions, 53 attempts, 355 yards, and four touchdowns in Martin's game against Middle Tennessee. Defensive Player of the Week, Leotis Moore III out of Eastern Kentucky. Seven tackles, tanker for loss, a pick, and a pass breakup, and a block kick in Eastern Kentucky's loss at Marshall. Co-Specialist of the Week, Jason Pierce for Jacksonville State. He's their punter. Punted three times for an average of 47.7 yards in the Gamecocks' win over Mississippi Valley State. The other co-specialist, Nicholas Letang, he's a kicker for SEMO, perfect on kicks. He had field goals of 37 and 35 and 4 of 4 on PATs. He hasn't missed a field goal or a PAT attempt. This is 2-2 on field goals, 7-7 on PATs. He's off to a great start. And the newcomer of the week is also the quarterback, Daniel Santa Catarina from Southeast Missouri. So he gets two awards in 1 week. The schedule for this week, we told you about Murray State's game at Kentucky. There is actually another Thursday night game for Tennessee Tech. This time it's on the road for them at Utah State. Tennessee Tech at Utah State. Then Saturday, Murray State has the early game. Everything else is after that. Chattanooga at Martin at 3 o'clock. Eastern Kentucky's at Bowling Green also at 3. At 5, Tennessee State at Hampton. Austin Peay at Morehead State. Then at 6, SEMO at SIU. And Indiana State is at Eastern Illinois. So that is your SEC or the OVC schedule. Coming up tonight, we'll talk about the Racer game this past week, what's coming up with Kentucky. If you have questions for Coach Mitch Stewart, show up at the program at the Big Apple Cafe at 6 o'clock. Or you can email heycoachshow@gmail.com, and we'll be happy to ask those during the broadcast tonight. That's going to wrap it up. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll see you tomorrow with Josh Plano's in. We'll talk about another week of college football and week one in the NFL with Josh Plano's on tomorrow's program.
You have been listening to The Neil Bradley Show, or you have fast-forwarded to this point and skipped the show entirely. Tune in weekdays for The Neil Bradley Show on 1340WNBS.com or subscribe free by searching for The Neil Bradley Show on the iTunes podcast app. The Neil Bradley Show is a presentation of WNBS Sports in conjunction with Forever Communications.